I have to do this, Randy. Randy has a nickname that I think I gave him. And so you need to call him Bubba. Pastor Bubba. I just had to say that. Now, it's such a privilege for me to be able to give this message. And I had it planned that I was going to speak out of Colossians 3, and as a scripture, 1 to 17. And over the several weeks since I gave that title and scripture, God has been dealing with my heart. And I had a three-point message out of that, and I'll probably have one point that will be out of that Colossians message. I think when you hear what I have to say, you'll see how it fits today and how you have to grant an old man this liberty to share. I want to talk how God has led. Somehow I'm getting maybe too close or something. I want to talk how God has led in Maxine and my life, and his calling, and anything that I share in that regard is not to bring glory to us. But the point of this is that every person here, young and old, take very seriously what God wants you to do in your life. And I want to, from the outset, say it pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. And I'm just briefly going to say a little bit. I married my sweetheart out of high school. And I remember seeing her when she was a freshman, and I can picture her yet, how she was dressed. Now she's getting embarrassed, but she was a pretty girl. And we were married. We were married very young. And when you hear how young, you're going to gasp probably, but we were 17 when we were married. And it was a different time and a different place than what it is now. And with the situations in both of our homes at that time, we were better off married and being together than we were being single at home. And God has led in a very, very special way. I ended up in the Mennonite Church because of Maxine. And because her uncle had taken her and the other children along, her parents didn't go to church and weren't members of the church. And I grew up in the Evangelical and Reformed Church. And when I started dating her, and I'm a little embarrassed to share this, but it's the truth, I realized that if I wasn't a Christian, she wouldn't date me. And so I pretended to be a Christian at that point, even to the extent of having prayer on our dates and stuff. So watch out, gals. Guys can do things that you don't understand. And anyway, but how wonderful it is that when the Midway Mennonite Church had revival meetings, and Maxie and I had, we had one child and another child on the way, and the invitation was given, and I was under conviction heavy, and Maxine took my hand and said, if you want to go up to the invitation, they were singing I Surrender All, she said, I'll go up with you. And we went up, and I responded and took Jesus really authentically as my personal Savior. And she committed her life to the Lord, rededicated her life to the Lord. And after that, we felt an increasing desire to share Christ with others, that we felt called to do that. We weren't called to the ministry at that point, but we had that desire in our heart to share Jesus. And I realized that my life had to change. I worked at a steel fabrication plant, and I'd go to work, and there were a few guys there that we'd share filthy stories and that kind of stuff. And after that commitment to Christ, I went to work and talked to them all and said, I don't want that anymore. I want you to be my friend, but I don't want that as part of my life. And that kind of surprised them. And let me just say, we need to be very faithful and serious in our commitment to Christ. Well, as I said, we began to have an increasing desire to share Jesus with people who knew him not, who needed him. And when our daughter Patty was born, we went to a tent revival, and Fred and Carolyn Augsburger, who were at Rockview Mennonite Church, singled us out and talked to us and wondered if we wouldn't come into Youngstown and help them with by teaching Sunday school class and so forth and having a presence there. And for a period of time, we did that. We drove into Youngstown. And then God began laying on our hearts how we needed to live in the midst of the people in the old ghetto section of the city and be there and share in what their experience to be able to really communicate Christ. And that was something I stumbled heavy over, because I love to hunt and trap, and I love the country, and I didn't like the city. And at that time we were dealing with that, God's call came upon us heavy, and I didn't see how I could respond to that. Now, Maxine and I used to sit at the piano and sing together. We still do. And sing together. And at one point, we were singing, "I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. And I'll be what you want me to be." And we both started crying. And we turned to each other at the same time and said, "We need to move into Youngstown." And we made that decision. It was not easy to make, because we didn't have any family members at that point that thought it was a good idea, except my mother. I have a file full of poems and encouragements and so forth. The church we attended, the associate pastor came to me and said, "You know," he said, "the pastor wanted him to convey to me that if we moved to Youngstown, Maxine's parents and other relatives in her family might never be saved." Now, that's a low blow. I mean, that really shook us. You know, what should we do? But God continued to call us, and after commuting into Youngstown and helping, we sold a little home. It was a little that we had in the country, and we moved into the city. And it's an amazing, amazing, wonderful story. Jesus said that we must take up our cross and follow him, and that if we're not willing to do that, we're not worthy of him. He says in another passage of scripture, and he uses a strong term, hate, but he relates to family. And it simply means, folks, not putting family ahead of God's call and not loving family more than Jesus. And that we must love him above family, we must not love things above family, and that our own lives also. And what it means is that we take all that we have and lay it on the altar of sacrifice, everything, as Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac. We lay it on the altar and let God take what he will and call us where he will. And what, you know, a marvelous, marvelous truth, I'm telling you. God has a purpose for each one of you, regardless of your age. And many of you have found that. Be faithful to your calling. And young people today here, it's, you know, I'm 80 years old now. And I won't tell you how old she is, but I'm 13 days older than her. I'm telling you to look back on a life that has had its... we've had a wonderful life together. And we've had, as pastoring all those years, we've had some bumps and some twists in the way and all of that. But God is faithful. And I'm telling you again, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays to serve Jesus. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody here this morning might sense a call from God that is real and is valid. Well, I want to, I just need to say that all the concern that family members had, just through the years, Maxine's mom and dad were saved and came into the city and helped us with the ministry. Brothers, her brothers and sisters were saved. Her folks are over in glory. She has some brothers that are over there. Persons that I had the privilege of baptizing. People that others thought might be, you know, if we go to that big bad city, that family members wouldn't be saved. No. We need to honor God's call. And I have my own family members that were touched by that call. My brother John and his wife Ruth, when they came to my ordination, sensed Jesus calling them to get serious with following him. And they sensed a call to ministry. And he's retired now, but he's about 2 years older than I am. His son Tim, his son Paul, and his son Phil all are involved in ministry. His grandson Chad is an associate pastor at a church. Now you think of that. And then I have to think of Max and I. I call her Max. And our son, Rich Jr., is at Agora and in ministry there in Columbus. And our son, Jim, is lead pastor at Day Spring Christian Fellowship in Canton, Ohio. And we have two daughters that are beautiful Christians and school teachers that are affecting people's lives. I could tell you stories about that. And we have Rocky, Randy's older brother now, who is lead pastor. He's the only pastor at Pleasant View in North Lawrence, Ohio. And we have Randy being called here. Now, I want you to think about that. I said that I kind of thought I needed to share this because I want people in the future to know how God has led in our family's life. And you won't read about it in the Mennonite. You won't read about it in Mission News and denominational papers. But it's a story of what God can do when we are faithful to the call he has given us. And I had to share that with you. Randy, how long have I been talking? he had given me some minutes to work with, and I want to give a little lesson on love at this point, and then I'm going to end. I had the privilege of hearing Ian Pitts Watson, a teacher at Fuller Seminary, speak on the love of God. And it was a very simple message, and I'm going to share some of the things that were shared and want you to listen very seriously. When he and his wife were called to ministry in Australia, and they lived in England, they got on a propeller-driven plane, and that was a slow, long trip. And they had a little girl, little daughter, just a little tot, named Rosemary. And she became so tired on that trip until they arrived, I think it was in Sydney, and had Christian people meeting them at the airport to pick them up. This little girl was crying, and nothing they could say would stop her crying. She just was fitful. And the lady and her husband, who came to pick them up, brought a little rag doll for Rosemary. That was the little girl's name. And from the beginning of that contact with that rag doll, she hugged it to herself, and it dried up her tears. And to use Ian's words, thus grew a love affair between that rag doll and Rosemary. He went on to say that she would not part with it, that through the years it became, he used the term soiled, I suppose we'd say dirty, and it was torn, and he and his wife wanted to use his term, trash it. But he said Rosemary would have nothing to do with that. She'd have nothing to do with that. And even to the extent that when she went to Oxford to school, she had this tattered rag doll on the mantle of her room in Oxford. Now, the lesson I want to share with you, and I will read a few scriptures. From John 4, beginning with verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, his point was, and I share it with you, is first of all that God loves us. And he loves us so much. And please don't take it lightly because we hear it so much. He loves us so much that he gave his only Son to die on the cross that we might be forgiven and that we might feel his love. And that's how much he loved us. It's like he said, I love you so much. Now, this child, Rosemary, and later an adult Rosemary, loved that rag doll that looked worthless. That rag doll had, and get this, value because it was loved. It wasn't even worth anything as trash or junk, but it had value in that it was loved. Now think with that and follow along. We have value because we are loved. loved of God. So many people feel like I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. And listen, understand. You're loved of God, the King of the universe. You have intrinsic value because of that. Because of that. And the other scripture says that if God so loved us like that, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We are like that. Like that. Not with you in a Christian fellowship, not we sit there and decide who we like the most and who we think has the most gifts and who's the most likable and all of that. But because we are loved of God, and we are loved like that, and because we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, we are called to love, to see others as persons of value. Think of the end result of that. What takes place in a church? What takes place in a family? What takes place in a husband-wife relationship? When we really, really show, say, for instance, to our spouse that they are valuable to us. And they have value because they're loved. And because of the love of God. Think about that. Oh, it's marvelous. A love that creates value in one another. And guess what? I've been blessed with the love I've felt here. The love you have for Randy and Deanne and the family, I've been blessed. And that's marvelous. That's marvelous. You want them to feel as they have value and gifts and ministry. You continue to love like that. Well, I think I need to quit. I think I need to quit. And I had a couple pages of things, but I wanted to share this with you. I'm telling you again, it pays to serve Jesus. And I'm telling you again, when you're called, respond to that call. And put your entire life in God's hands, and He will lead you and guide you and bless you and walk together in love. You know, you're with people, sitting beside people here that are so valuable. So valuable because God loves them and because you love them. That can make a difference in your home, your family relationship, even in relationships in the community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. And I thank you for the way you have blessed. I thank you for Randy and Deanne and the kids. God, just bless them and bless this congregation. In the name of Jesus. Amen.